Welcome, Beyond the Walls with Team World Vision. This is LDR, and today we're stepping into one of our favorite parts of our ministry, our triathlon team. For the next 2 weeks, we are going to spend time featuring a team that is incredibly unique and special, and actually, where the vision and idea of Team World Vision came to be over 15 years ago. Michael Chitwood, the founder of Team World Vision, was training for this event called the Ironman Triathlon when God put the vision of Team World Vision on his heart and in his mind while on a long training bike ride. Now, if you're not familiar with Ironman or what that is, we're not talking about the movie and we're not talking about an action figure. An Ironman Triathlon is a specific race distance that consists of a 2.4-mile swim, a 112-mile bike, and then you complete a marathon to cap it all off for a total of 140.6 miles. It sounds insane because it is. And some of our most determined people that wear our orange jerseys say yes to this journey of what it looks like to go farther together. Because sometimes radical transformation happens when we keep pressing on and going farther than we ever thought was possible. And that's exactly why we want to spend some quality time with the folks that help make our triathlon team the special team that it is. Just this past weekend, we had 23 athletes take on 140.6 miles for clean water in our first ever socially distant Team World Vision produced triathlon. These 23 triathletes assembled on the west coast of Michigan with the brilliant leadership of our one and only Coach Ty Eckert, leading these world changers for a weekend of impact for kids and togetherness as a team, even though their original race, one of the most famous races in the world, Ironman Wisconsin, had been canceled, like many of our other races. But first, we're going to be transported to the team dinner the night before the race, that special place where we gather together, where this team gathered together in a tent just near the lake, prepping, praying, and being encouraged for the long day ahead. Alex Shore, a pastor and longtime Team World Vision runner and athlete, shared some words of encouragement with the team as she herself prepared for what would be her first triathlon. Through the nerves and the fear of what those miles would be, we are so excited to share with you the words of wisdom she shared with her team.
I first met Alex Shore at church. She goes to my church, or used to, some shows up sometimes still. Not because she doesn't go to church anymore, but because now she leads her own church, which is incredible. So I met Alex as a college student probably 5-6 years ago. She went to Loyola, and she's just been an incredible person in my life. And I'm excited that she gets to share with you all. So welcome, Alex Shore.
Hey, everybody. Like Ty said, my name is Alex Shore, and it's an honor to be here with you guys tonight. I ran my first Chicago Marathon in 2013, but like Ty mentioned, I'm now a campus minister at Loyola University in Chicago, so go Blurs, always. And maybe more relevant for tonight, I am one of your fellow Ironman athletes. We've been waiting a while for this weekend to happen. I signed up back last year in October, and some of you guys signed up in the winter and the spring, and this weekend and this day has been a long time in the making. And so I have just a short and simple word for us tonight. We're going to keep it a little bit more interactive. So we worked out our legs. Now we're going to work out our hands. By a show of hands, is anyone a little bit nervous for tomorrow? Yeah. Is anyone a little excited? Woo! Is anybody both? Yeah, okay. I think we all are. All week, people have been asking me, Alex, how do you feel? It's the big weekend. Like, what do you feel? And I'm like, I don't know. I don't feel anything. Like, I don't know what to feel. I'm like, ignorance is bliss because it hasn't hit me yet. And then yesterday morning, I woke up and it was like full body nerves. And I was like, and it was like 5 a.m. and I couldn't go back to sleep. And I was like, I don't want to be awake right now. I don't want to think about this. And then eventually driving up here last night, the nerves kind of wore off. And then I got excited. And when I get excited and I'm in the car, I just start screaming. So I was just like screaming, like, it's happening. We're here. And then this morning it flip-flopped again, and I woke up and I honestly thought I was going to puke. I'm like, how are we going to do this? And I think it was like a both and. I was like, am I nervous about speaking? Or am I nervous about the race? Or am I nervous about drowning? Or maybe just everything. And it was like obviously this really healthy combination of nerves. And so I decided, well, I should probably look over what I'm going to say tonight. Maybe that'll help. And as I looked over what I had prepared for tonight, I began to feel really underqualified to be talking about Ironman without having done one. I signed up for the race in last October in typical Team World Vision fashion, which means I didn't know how to swim and I didn't own a bike. So it was one of those kind of like faith things where it's like, all right, God's going to get me some how to the finish line. And like I mentioned, Ty gave me swim lessons and I learned all those things. And it took me a while to figure out, like, you breathe in when you're out of the water and then you breathe out when you're in the water. It was kind of tricky to get that down. I didn't realize that my bike had gears for the first 3 months. I just thought to make it like harder, like I would just manually turn the like thing on my trainer. So that's how I did that for 3 months. I didn't even know there was a second ring of gears until Little Brick Weekend when we were going up all those hills in Madison. So clearly I cannot give you any sort of technical advice for tomorrow. So I will not even try to do that. That's above my pay grade. And I don't think that I necessarily have anything super life-changing or earth-shattering to share, but rather just two short pieces of advice that I've picked up from my races over the years. So the first point is this, and I'll confess that it is a borrowed piece of advice. It is to look back and smile. In 2017, when I was volunteering at Ironman Wisconsin, Rusty Funk was giving the team breakfast talk, and he invited the team to look back and smile as they went out to on the race course that next day, to reflect on what God had done and what God had brought them through in their journey. And when they were nervous about what was ahead, to stop, take a moment, and to literally look back and smile and see how far they had come. Some of you may have seen the video I shared on Facebook a few days ago of that weekend when the next morning after that team breakfast, I was on the Monona Terrace and I was just watching as like hundreds of people were swimming in the lake. And I felt something in my spirit that told me that that journey was going to be mine one day. And so today and this weekend, I get to look back and smile, realizing that I had no idea what God was calling me into and what this season would look like. And I imagine that's pretty true for a lot of us. I don't think anyone had any idea what this season was going to look like. This is a very unique and special year, training season, all of the above. But I think that's part of the beauty in all of it, that somehow, in some way, God called each of you into this season. And not just the race and not just into this tent tonight, but the season itself, a season of training, of fundraising, of pivoting, of trusting, of learning, of challenging, and of celebrating. And so as we prepare for tomorrow and whatever race day will hold for us, I'd encourage us to look back and see what happened when God called us into this and how he's prepared for us since. Some of us have never done anything like this before. Can you raise your hand if you're a newbie, if this is gonna be your first Ironman? Yeah, we're crazy, we're nuts, what are we doing? And some of you are taking like big leaps to get here, like big leaps. And I know I don't know everybody's story, but I think the cool thing is I don't have to know that God called you here and to know that God called you on this journey and he called us on this journey together. And so as we look back and reflect on how God has called us, I think it's also really cool to see how God has equipped us and all of the things we've learned and experienced in the past couple of months. By now you're figuring out that like I didn't know anything about anything before signing up for this. So I learned a lot, how to swim, how to ride a bike, how to successfully unclip, how to put on a wetsuit, how to not put on a wetsuit. Like the list really, it goes on and on. And it's been a hard season for some of us. It's kind of inconvenient to learn how to swim when all the pools are closed, or if you're in Chicago and the beaches are closed. And maybe some of you had to find some private beaches to like accidentally get asked to leave from because you weren't a member of the homeowners association to swim in. But I mean, we have to do what we have to do sometimes. So it happens. And we've experienced a lot of God's provision this year, like in crazy ways. When I realized that I would be fundraising in the midst of a pandemic, I thought, no, no, no. God, you must have picked the wrong year to give me a $20,000 goal. Like 20K for 2020? Yeah, sounds great in a non-pandemic year, but even then it still sounds really hard. So I told God, no. And I lowered my goal and I didn't go public with my $20,000 goal because I didn't think that was realistic. I didn't think I could get there and I was scared. Well, when you tell God no, well, sometimes he likes to tell you no to your no. And so that's what he did for me. And just in the wildest ways through World Water Day or my birthday marathon, God started bringing in donations. And I was like, oh, that's right. Like, if you call me to do something, you're going to equip me and you're going to make it happen. And so I know you in this room have experienced this too, all season long, as you've had really high goals and asking people in the midst of a pandemic and economic crisis for money for clean water is scary. But somehow with 23 athletes in this room, we've raised over $215,000 for clean water. God has made it happen and God is continuing to make it happen because we're not done yet. Like, we still got a whole day tomorrow. And I don't know about you. There's so much more room for God to move tomorrow, and I'm excited for it. And so before we look ahead to tomorrow, take a chance tonight or whenever you have a chance to kind of settle down and have some alone time to look back and to see how far you've come, to see how far we've come, and then smile because we made it. Right? We are all coming into this with different situations, whether it's family life or whether it's been an injury or whether it's been something else you've been holding and carrying through this season. And tomorrow we get to celebrate how far we've come through all of that. Because the reality is, in my opinion, the hard work is behind us. Sure, tomorrow is going to be a long day and it's going to have highs and lows and I might try and fit a pillow into my transition bin. But we have spent hours and months on the trainer, on the pavement, in the water, preparing for this. We've been inviting people into this journey for clean water since we began. And tomorrow is the victory lap. Tomorrow we get to celebrate. And so that's kind of my second point, which is kind of basic, and I think I'm okay with that. Tomorrow, let's just get out there and enjoy it. Let's have fun. Let's celebrate. Let's embrace the Pomoja experience of togetherness. What other kind of race is like this? Like, we don't have the Ironman guidelines or regulations. Thank God we don't have the Madison Hills. Like, we have a flat course. Praise God, right? We get to enjoy one another's company. We don't have to worry about, like, the sag wagon coming behind us and taking us off the course when we're not done. Sure, maybe, like, we can do a lap less in the water or on the bike, but, like, we're going to be able to finish tomorrow. Like, the race is what we make it, and we get to do it together. We get to see each other time after time. Big Brick, getting to see everybody back and forth on that bike course, like, that was awesome. Think how much more awesome it's going to be tomorrow. Like, it's going to be fun. We get to have fun with it. And so tomorrow isn't about the time. It's not about the finish line. It's not about, definitely for me, not about how fast I can get out of the transition zone because I might live there. It's about enjoying it. It's about embracing it. And earlier when I was asking God, what do you want me to say tonight? Like, what do you want this team to know? He said, let them know that I love them and that I'm proud of them. And remind yourself of these things too. And I was like, God, that's really, really nice and all, but do you have any cool catchphrases or crafty puns or like anything that can like really stick with them tomorrow? And he didn't really respond to that. And he was like, just remind them, I love them. And it might sound simple, but I think it's a powerful reminder that God called you to this journey and that you are here for a reason and that you are going to be out on that race course tomorrow for a reason and with a purpose. That Jesus wants to meet you out there, whether you're a runner, whether you're a spectathlete, whether you're World Vision staff. There's a story that Jesus is writing in your life, and the Ironman Pomoja journey is a special part of it. I remember, I think it was my first marathon in Chicago. I was coming up It's one of those numbers or like miles where you don't really remember. I think it was like 21 or maybe it was 20. I was really convinced that like the marathon had messed up and they forgot to put up one of those mile markers and that we were actually all off course or already done and they didn't tell us. But it was just getting to that point where like things are getting ugly. And like, I think a walk would have been faster than what I was doing. I'm not really, it was more like of a drag and it was just really painful. And it's all those lies and doubts in my head. Like, why are you doing this? This is so dumb. Like you were in so much pain. Why would you willingly put yourself through this and into this position? And I was about to stop. I was about to pull over. I was about to cry and potentially call someone and tell them to pick me up. And as I stopped and I took a walk break, At this point, I wouldn't say that I'd ever heard an audible voice of God before. And when people said, I heard from God, I didn't really know what that meant. But in that moment, there is something telling me, Alex, thank you. Thank you for doing this for your brothers and sisters around the world. I love you and I am so proud of you. And in that moment, it was like a double whammy of like, whoa, 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 what was that? But also like, oh my gosh, like that's why I'm doing this. Like that's why I'm moving my feet. That's why we're swimming in that really scary looking water tomorrow. That's why we are going an ungodly amount of miles on the bike tomorrow. That's why after all of that, we're still gonna put one foot in front of the other for a marathon. Because this isn't for us and it never has been. This is for our brothers and sisters around the world who need access to clean water. And it's because God wants to show up tomorrow. He wants to show up to us and he wants to show up for the kids and the communities that we are moving our feet for. And I strongly believe that God wants to speak to each and every one of us out there on the course tomorrow, like he spoke to me yesterday. And maybe that's through a voice. Maybe that's through a scripture that you read tonight and carry with you tomorrow. Maybe that's through the random encouragement of a spectathlete you've never met. Whatever it is, I know that God has something out there for each of us tomorrow. And so when you are at the highest of highs tomorrow, when the caffeine of whatever gels you're taking is hitting in and you're riding on that bike and flying high, remember that God loves you and that he is proud of you. And when you are in the depths of despair and when you feel like you cannot press that pedal down one more time and that you cannot get back up into that bike after an aid station, when you are hurting and don't think you can go anymore, remember that God loves you and that he's proud of you. And he has called us together as a team to do this thing together tomorrow. And so team, would you receive this blessing? May God go before you to lead you, behind you to protect you, beneath you to support you, and beside you to befriend you. As you look back and smile, would you see God smiling right back at you? And as you look ahead to tomorrow, would you receive God's words of I love you and I'm so proud of you? Amen.
Those are some of the sounds of our spectathletes cheering on our triathletes into the wee hours of the night during race day. As most race days we've experienced, some things didn't go as planned. When race day came, the weather did not allow our team to start their race with the much-anticipated 2.4-mile swim. The waves and the water conditions were just too dangerous, causing our team to forgo the swim entirely. So the team prepped to go forth on the bike. But despite the disappointment, they got on their bikes and they pedaled through the grueling 112 miles on the course. And while the miles were long, the energy was high and the spirits were up. The pressure of the strict Ironman bike course cutoffs were lifted as we were able to take on 1 mile at a time and have nothing but fun throughout the day. When the race was completed, our producer of the podcast, Julie Beershank, had an awesome opportunity to follow up with Alex, asking her about how her race had gone. Tired and exhausted from hours and hours of racing, she got to share with us how both beautiful and difficult, as well as rewarding, this race day and training season have been for her.
You did an Ironman yesterday. How do you feel?
I'm a little tired.
Yeah.
I'm a little sore, but I don't feel as bad as I thought I would. Or like the things that hurt are the things I was expecting to hurt from like some injuries this season, but I kind of thought I was going to feel worse today, but I don't. It's just kind of nice.
That's great.
Oh, I'm also hungry. I think I've been hungry since I woke up this morning, and I already ate breakfast twice, so.
Well, I can't even imagine how many calories you would have burned yesterday, so you're probably going to be hungry for a while.
Some might say I had the most calories yesterday with some snacks that I had along the course, but yes. I still don't think it was enough.
So was there a hardest mile for you or hardest miles?
Yes. Yes.
Can you talk about that?
Yeah, I would love to. It's funny because I think when I started off the run, I was running with two of my friends, Morgan and Andrew, and our first two laps of the seven were like, they felt good. We're like, okay. We're like, wow. And then we were talking about the wall. Like, when do you hit the wall in an Ironman marathon? Because it's like, you've already done 112 miles on a bike. Does that at all change, like, the spot in a run where you would hit the wall? Will it come sooner? Will it come later? Did you already hit the wall if you hit it in the bike? Like, could there maybe be no wall? And so I was like, yeah, I usually hit mine at, like, somewhere between 16 and 20 miles. And then last night, I hit it at 14 and a half. I maybe made a mistake and sat down too long at the aid station. I don't think I regret sitting down, but oh my gosh. Getting up and moving my legs was so miserable. I think, and I kind of stayed in that bad place for, at least a lap and a half. So at least like 4 to 5 miles from like mile 14 and a half to 19 and a half. I was not in a happy place. And I think out of like all of my marathons, that might have been like my lowest of lows in dark miles yesterday. So I went through some angsty phases. I went through some emotional phases. I cried a lot at really random things and got angry at the ground a few times. But eventually we got out of it. But it was really rough for a few miles.
Yeah. Was there a moment during the run that you felt like this is never going to end?
Yes. Yes. It was 14.6, so maybe it was like 0.1 after I'd left the aid station, and I just couldn't, like, my legs would not go. Like, they were kind of going, but it felt like I was lifting a cement block with each footstep, and I was like, how in the world am I supposed to do 12 more miles of this? Like, it just sounded like the most, just like the concept of it was so daunting that I just kind of wanted to like fall over and knock it up.
Yeah, that totally makes sense. Like, and so maybe what were some of the things you were experiencing from a spiritual perspective on both? Maybe you can share with us some of like the highs spiritually, some of the lows spiritually.
Yeah.
Like where was your mind? Where was your head in some of those places?
One of those first moments on the bike was we were maybe 10, 15 miles in, and we came up to the first group of spectathletes that were out there cheering us on. And it was just so life-giving. And then we came upon another group and another group and another group. And I had this realization that even if I didn't know like whose family, like who, what, like what group was cheering for which athlete and like their names, and even if I had never met any of these people, I had this really special realization that it didn't matter like who they were, but like everybody out on that course was family. Like the people that were on the bike were family. The people that we were racing with were family. The people that were cheering for us or helping us at the aid station or the transition. Like you didn't have to know the other person's name to know that like we were family, like Team World Vision family. We were all there for one mission and one purpose. As I was reflecting on that on the bike, I just kind of started crying a little bit pretty early on, just at how beautiful it was. Just to see that sort of family and that sort of show of community, and to know that we all really care for what we're doing and care for each other and make a difference. And something about that was just like, wow, like this is kind of like, a foretaste of heaven. Although I hope there aren't like Ironman races in heaven, but like the fact that like you just got to be with these other people that, you know, it's like, oh my gosh, like, yeah, like this is my family. Like this is what connects us all. And so that was really special. And that was on the bike. And even when I was in like the lowest of lows, on the run, I tried to remember, the things that I had told other people to remember when I gave my team dinner talk, to look back and smile and to enjoy it and remember and to listen to God's voice saying, I love you and I'm proud of you. And I think I was maybe at like mile 18 or 19. I was coming back towards the tent and it was dark. Like I felt like literally it was dark, like because it was late at night and there was no sun. But also I felt like just like my spirits were dark. And so all of a sudden I was like, you know what? And I stopped and I looked behind me and I smiled, realizing how far I'd come, not just like that day or on the run, but in the past 9 months of training, in the past 3 years since I had the crazy idea to do an Ironman. And I just felt like I heard that voice, like, I love you and I'm so proud of you. And then I started crying again, which is probably like the 10th time I cried yesterday.
And we're so proud of you, too. As your family, we're so proud of you. And, you know, it's so beautiful the way that you describe that. You know, as we've ventured into this world and time that we're in, especially mm-hmm. Team World Vision, we're embracing around this idea and this word and concept and everything that it is of Pomoja. Mm-hmm. And I'm so curious. And Alex, you're beaming right now and you're like giddy and excited after doing an Ironman. So giddy and excited. What does the word Pomoja mean to you after yesterday, after this season? I mean, how much have you raised for clean water?
I think I'm at a little bit over $16,000.
Wow.
Which is praise God. Absolutely. But when I think of Pomoja, and these might sound silly. When I think of Pomoja, I think of chicken nuggets. I think of a large biker gang chanting Pomoja at one of the intersections on the race course. And I think of the work that we were able to do collectively as a team. There's a moment as we were starting off the race at an intersection. There were like 13 of us all together, which was wild. I was not expecting to be in a group with that many people. And that didn't last as long. It trickled down a little bit. But one of our good friends and teammates, Karen, is such an encourager and such a team leader that she started us with this chant. And she's like, I say Pomo, you say Ja, Pomo, Ja, Pomo, Ja. And we just like did that for like a couple minutes as we waited at this red light. And I don't know, I feel like that was such a good picture of us just coming together to do the thing that God had called us to do. Not just like an Ironman, not just like the 112 miles on the bike that day, but to be in community and do what we can to serve our brothers and sisters mm-hmm. around the world. And just everything about yesterday, I felt like was Pomoja. Just the embodiment of doing it all together and realizing that we weren't alone. And even if there were spots and pieces where you were alone on the bike or you were alone on the run, like you always came back to that tent and had community. You always passed someone, and like even the family members you didn't know learned your name and would cheer for you.
Yeah.
Or I don't know whose family it was, but like by the parking lot, someone had a sign that said, go Alex, go. And I'm like, you're not even my family and you have a sign for me. And so something about the togetherness of yesterday and doing it for a reason and doing it for a purpose. I think that's what Pomoja is all about.
Having spectated and having kind of been there in person, there was just such a sense of togetherness mm-hmm. and like we can see what God's doing with this word Pomoja to really fuel us.
Yes.
As we, you know, just have a different context that mm-hmm. we're all working through. And you've been to the field, mm-hmm. you've been to Kenya, you've met your sponsored child. Mm-hmm. What does Pomoja mean, maybe in the context of experiencing and walking through and racing through yesterday, but having been to the field and seen the work, and like what does that mean to you now? Does that mean something different?
I think the togetherness of yesterday and of the race and of this whole season is easily translated to the togetherness of the work that we do in the field. The communities that we serve are incredible, incredible field staff. Like we're all in it together. There's no hierarchy. It's like, oh, you have a need. Okay, this is what we're going to do to fix it. And we're going to come together to figure that out. And I just think of any time I've been to the field, just to see everybody working together for the collective good of others, or even in the sense of how World Vision has built their model of empowering community members to like take ownership of like the clean water projects or of the things we're building. I'm thinking of, one of the water projects that we visited together, where we did the water walk, and the water engineer was explaining that in order to make this water project work, it was like 2 miles up a hill, that they were going to need these beams. It's like many, many beams that were several thousand pounds. I can't remember if each one weighed a ton or what it was. But all of the community members helped carry each of those beams up mm-hmm. this mountain and up this hill. And I don't know, I almost feel like that's like a perfect image of like what it legitimately looks like to carry each other's burdens and to like make a way to like mm-hmm. together, like no one person could lift those beams on their own. It was like the show of a community moving together for the benefit of everybody. And once they did that, then now several schools in the area and many, many families and community members now have access to clean water. And so I think that's what Pomoja looks like. And even if that's not a concept recognized there, like, oh, what's the spirit of Pomoja? It's like, well, it's just who we are as Christians. It's who we are at World Vision. And it's this idea of just being together with and for one another.
I remember that walk. That water walk was hard.
Yeah, it was.
And I think oftentimes when we think about this water walk, we portray something in our minds. When I had imagined a water walk, I didn't imagine the strenuousness of just the terrain that we were on, because it was a steep, yes. technical. I mean, it was like I was constantly scared I was going to fall down that mm-hmm, really steep mm-hmm. forest. I mean, we were in a very dense forest.
Yes.
There's rocks and there's bugs and like our feet were getting caught in things.
Yes.
And it was muddy because it was raining. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh wow. It just kind of really brought to life what that really means when we talk about this idea of a water walk.
Yes.
Not even idea. When we talk about water mm-hmm. walks. As we enter into the weeks ahead, we're going to have a lot of people like yourself moving their feet. And they've been training by themselves or training in groups, socially mm-hmm. distanced. When we have our Pomoja race weekends, what are some words of encouragement or maybe some words of expectation that you have for our fellow Pomoja teammates?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I was just talking to some friends about this the other day. I lead a team at Chicago for our Loyola students. And we had a huge group sign up this year, bigger than we've ever had. And as I realized that the Chicago Marathon wasn't going to happen like it was supposed to, I got really bummed. And I was like, oh man, like all these people are going to miss out on like this experience and like the specialness that is Chicago, or for the other fall events, whatever it is your race is this weekend. But then I realized this over the past couple of weeks, and especially yesterday, I'm like, no, I think this is even better. Or like yesterday, it was so cool to know that everybody out there yesterday was World Vision. Everybody out there was there to support you and your team. And this whole season, I think just recognizing, Michael Chetwood said this at our team dinner the other day, there are so many people sitting at home waiting for things to get back to normal, but we're out here doing something and doing something about it. And I just think the Pomoja weekends this fall have an opportunity to be really, really incredible. And not just an opportunity to be incredible, like they will be, whether people are at socially distant sites or doing it virtually or doing it on their own. There is still some sort of spirit that translate, whether you have been training on your own all season long or whether you've been with a group at a group run, there's been something special happening. And I think I can't wait to see what it culminates to, but I know it's going to be good. I'm excited to go to some of these race weekends and just hear people's stories. Cause I mean, the reality is like whether it's the official event weekend, whether it's Pomoja weekend, people have been doing the work. People have been doing the training. People have been doing the fundraising. God called them into this and people have been obedient to that call and they've been following the Spirit's lead and putting one foot in front of the other for a very long time. And people have been asking their friends and their family members to donate and to join them on this journey. And so something I love to tell people is like, there's no way that like God won't show up on race day. Like there's no way God would have called you to this and then not have equipped you and not provided for you and not show up for you. And so that's not to say it's gonna be easy. Like a marathon, a half marathon, whatever you're doing, like it's hard and it's challenging and there will be lows, but I think there will also be highs and there's gonna be something really, really special about all of us stepping into this Pomoja experience together. One day soon.
Twende, Mambale, Pomoja. We hope that you enjoyed getting to listen in on this incredible weekend with 23 world changers, swimming, biking, and running, all in the name of clean water. We hope that you tune in next week as we get to hear from the one and only Coach Ty, who leads and shepherds each one of our triathletes. And wherever you are in your journey right now, we hope that you are feeling the spirit of Pomoja this season. We are with you. We believe in you. We go farther together. Once again, thanks for tuning in this week. If you enjoyed the podcast, make sure to subscribe, rate, and share. See you next week.